Vanchikalpa Trivicha Kripasinimayavacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram 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 Hare Hare. So as Mother Mukhya informed us of suspiciousness of Purushottam month, this verse is perfectly describing the glorious position of one who is engaged in devotional service. And as it says in the purport, one who engages his senses, mind, and intelligence 24 hours a day in the Lord's service is the most pious person. So often there is a debate, what is real piety, what constitutes real pious activities. And we find in this verse, very interestingly, this is continuation where Sri Krishna is informing Uddhava that there is no need to take any extra activities other than one's own devotional practice, even if there is an accidental fall down. And Nagaraj Prabhu very nicely explained the story of Sabari Muni yesterday. And he also pointed very nicely that jnana yoga by itself can actually burn to ashes the reactions of sinful activities. But for the devotee, that is not really the ultimate goal. Devotee wants actually to develop his dormant love for the Lord. So sinful reactions are not, that is really not our concern. Our main concern is to develop love for the Lord. So in this verse we find one very interesting point, I would say. And it is emphasized that one who steadily practices his own spiritual practice, that is actually what constitutes real piety. So we find in Bhagavad Gita, at the start of the battlefield, of the battle, Arjuna is being very, very disturbed because in his mind he's concerned that by killing all the soldiers, all the generals that were assembled there, that he will be incurring sin. And he's addressing the Lord and he's saying, my dear Lord Krishna, those who destroy family traditions, they are causing sinful activities because they are, so many men are going to be killed, and that will be cause of the unwanted progeny, and all the world will be disturbed. So you would think that after stating that argument, Krishna would immediately address the point or deliberate on the piety and sin. But no, actually, Krishna, if you look in Gita in the second chapter, from text 11 through pretty much till 2:30, Krishna is actually going to describe the nature of the soul. So he's not immediately addressing Arjuna's concern. And why is that so? So Krishna is emphasizing that to understand the position of the living entities is more important than to actually just simply be concerned about performing the pious deeds in this world. There are many examples when we think about steadiness. There's many wonderful examples, and I would like to mention a few. And but before I do, I wanted to kind of touch briefly on the few verses that Krishna is telling to Uddhava in the beginning of this chapter. First, he's glorifying the devotional service, and he's saying, if somehow or other by good fortune one develops faith in hearing and chanting my glories, such a person, being neither very disgusted with nor attached to material life, should achieve perfection through the path of loving devotion to me. And then he's saying, this human body, which can award all benefit in life, is automatically obtained by the laws of nature. Although it is very rare achievement, this human body can be compared to a perfectly constructed boat, having the spiritual master as the captain and the instruction of the personality Godhead as favorable winds impelling it on its course. Considering all these advantages, a human being who does not utilize his human life to cross the ocean of material existence must be considered the killer of his own soul. So when I was reading these verses, it reminded me of one recent video that one of my friends sent me. And the video is quite interesting. And basically what happened, there was a man who decided to climb the fence in a zoo and go inside the lion's cage. So you would think, why would somebody do that? But apparently he was not really mentally stable. So he decided to go in, he jumped the fence, and once inside, he took his jacket and he was waving it in front of the lion, challenging the lion. And needless to say, in a split second, the lion, just by quick move, ripped apart his jacket and jumped on him. And it says that the lion is so powerful that simply by one, kick of his, can pretty much take the elephant down. So fortunately, the man was standing a little bit higher on some rocks, so by instinct, the lion was thinking that he has the higher ground. So he wasn't immediately taking the full attack, but he pretty much bit him on the leg and made him bleed and etc. So immediately, all the guards, they were running, people panicking and trying to save the man. And the security came and they were actually using the high-pressure water hose to kind of deter the lion further away. And meanwhile, police was calling the man, come out, run. And you would think that man would take the good advice and run. After seeing what happened to him, he was already pretty badly wounded. But no, he was standing there and screaming on the lions and totally being insane. Finally, somehow they convinced him to walk out, and he came out. Later on, and the reason I'm mentioning this, later on he was interviewed. And he explained, they asked him, what he was thinking, why did he do this? And apparently he was under heavy dose of some kind of medication and drugs. So he was not really himself. And several years later, he recovered, and he was not really dependent on medication anymore. But he was explaining that in that moment, he was really not himself. He was not really capable of thinking clearly. So the reason I'm mentioning that, after we read so many wonderful instructions in the scriptures and the that advised us to take up the spiritual path very seriously, you would think we would do it. But no, there is so many obstacles, there is so many situations where we don't really dive fully with our heart and fully surrender. And why is that so? It's explained that by the nature, the way that human mind is wired, that we are heavily dependent on the our habits. Basically, humans, like any other creatures, are victimized by their habitual behavior. One time there was a scientific experiment where they were basically testing the propensity of fish to be independent thinker. And in the pool of water, basically, there were several fishes. Not sure if that's proper English, fish. So, and they were swimming freely in, you know, back and forth, going around. So at one point, the scientists decided to place kind of like a glass wall. So the fish would swim, and they would hit the glass wall, and they would stop. So they would, you know, be forced to go back. And they kept that glass kind of obstacle for like several days. So they would, fish would go around, they would hit that glass, and they would turn back. Then after a while, they decided, let's take it out and see what will happen. And this time, there was no glass wall anymore. But the fish would still stop exactly at the same point. Wouldn't swim further, not even 1 inch. And would turn around and go back. So that's one instance where kind of like behaviorally controls the decision making. The other example is we find in the dogs, people install the electric fence. And when the dog approaches, he feels the pain in his collar, and he immediately realizes this is the line I should stop on. And it's explained that some pet owners, some dog owners, they even if they want to take the dog sometime out, you know, I don't know, going somewhere on a walk, the dog would be desperate to stay in that field because of that conditioning. So that kind of points out that often we find ourselves doing things that we are really not consciously choosing to do. It's simply the habit that forces one to act by the force of the material energy. Fortunately, the human form of life is so wonderful that one has the higher intelligence to actually break out of the conditioning. And that is the mission of the human form of life. And that is why the sadhana bhakti is so important, because by steadily practicing our spiritual duties, we will actually break the habit of continuously being absorbed in material energy. Back to our verse, the point I would like to highlight is just steadiness. Krishna is kind of like putting that as the main instruction in this verse. And the example, I mean, we find so many examples of steadiness in our scriptures, but one particular example I would like to mention is Chitraketu. You all heard the life history of Chitraketu, and but the part I find specifically interesting is after he, you know, went through all the troubles of trying to have a son, and then his son was poisoned by one of the co-wives, and going through all kind of turmoil of family life, he finally got blessing to meet Lord Vishnu, and he became totally purified. And afterwards, he was traveling the universe in his airplane. And at one point, he comes to the place where Lord Shiva is meditating. And he was surrounded by all the great sages. And while he was there, he was embracing Mother Parvati. And Chitraketu, he just noticed that. And he was actually, in his mind, he was glorifying. He was thinking how wonderful it is that Lord Shiva, who is the greatest teacher in this universe, he is acting as an ordinary human being and embracing his wife, even in the assembly of the great sages. So Lord Shiva didn't really think that's any offense. Pure devotees, they can exchange, you know, that kind of joking among themselves, and both of them are pure devotees. But Mother Parvati, she did not take it very lightly. So she cursed Chitraketu, and she cursed him to take a birth in a demoniac form of life. Now, the reaction that Chitraketu displayed at that point is really, really amazing, and really significantly describes the real mentality of devotee, of Vaishnava. So Chitraketu, he stepped out of his plane, and with folded palms, he offered obeisance to Lord Shiva and Mother Parvati. And he said, dear Mother, I accept your curse as a blessing. And even if he was powerful enough to counteract the curse, he didn't do it. So he simply accepted that, and he offered wonderful prayers, and he explained that the change of happiness and stress in this world is simply a result of our previous actions and reactions. So after he left, then Lord Shiva, he spoke very nicely, and he said, I'm going to read this verse briefly. He said, my dear beautiful Parvati, have you seen the greatness of the Vaishnavas? Being servants of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Hari, they are great souls and are not interested in any kind of material happiness. Devotees solely engaged in devotional service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Narayan, never fear any condition of life. For them, the heavenly planets, liberation, and the hellish planets are all the same. For such devotees are interested only in the service of the Lord. So I was just thinking how wonderful example Chitraketu displayed here, what really steady consciousness is. I know we are running out of time, but briefly wanted to mention also one example in our more recent history, which also significantly points out how steadiness is so crucial and what the final result it will be eventually, you know, when one day we are ready to leave this world. So I heard this story from Gaur Gopal Prabhu, and he talks about one devotee in Russia. He was Sankirtan devotee for many, many years. And after doing that service steadily for a long time, he was diagnosed with cancer. And despite the illness, he still continued his service till one point when he was physically unable to do it anymore. So some time passed, and as that final moment came, he was actually in the hospital. And all devotees went to be with him. They were chanting. And interestingly enough, all devotees were crying by seeing him in that condition. But he himself, he was blissful, the way I heard. He was not disturbed at all. And at the final moment when he was leaving, he just made a statement. He said, Srila Prabhupada did not cheat us. Krishna consciousness works. And he left this world. So I just wanted to mention that example. His name was Ananta Pragyat Prabhu. Maybe some of you heard about him. But how wonderful testimony that is. I mean, what more can one say than a dying man on a deathbed? So it just confirms that we are so fortunate to be in this Krishna consciousness movement, and every day we can be so thankful to Srila Prabhupada for bringing it to the West, and we have a great opportunity to take devotional service, especially this month. So thank you so much. I will stop here if anybody would like to ask question or comment, we can discuss further. Yes, yes, Veronica.
Hare Krishna, Govinda Prabhu.
Thank you. Hare Bol.
Thank you for beautiful class. You're a very gentle soul. And what comes out of your mouth goes to my heart. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Prabhu.
And my question is, in the purport also it's talking about steady Krishna consciousness, that you have to, in whatever situation, you have to perform your devotional service. So what is it that, and you gave some examples that, like of Chitraketu, he was cursed, but yet he's still, I would think that if I was in a situation like that, my reaction would be, hey, who are you to curse me? You know, something like that, more so than... So how does one develop that inner quality of humility and acceptance? That even some reversal is there, that we can go on.
Yeah, that's a very good question, Prabhu, and I think you know the answer better than I do. But it definitely is not something that can happen overnight. In his case, we see that it's a long, long process, and in many cases, it's many lifetimes. We find that even after Chitraketu was cursed, he later took the birth as Ritrasura, which is another really, really amazing example. So while he was in demonic body, he was faced with Indra on the battlefield, and he was fighting. And at one point we find he's actually preaching to Indra, who is his enemy. And he's telling him, look, you know, you have nothing to worry. You desire heavenly planets, and I desire to go back home to Godhead. And simply by killing me, both of our desires will be fulfilled. So we can see like how amazing consciousness it is that he is basically telling his enemy to attack and kill him. And they're actually having like a really philosophical discussion. Indra at one point actually praises him and for his qualities. And then after a while, out of the matter of duty, they continue to fight. But there's no really simple answer. Maybe Pranagovinda Prabhu can elaborate more. How can one achieve that quality? I think other than time and patience, there is no really quick fix.
She's going to develop.
Yes.
Okay. I was experiencing once when going to Vrindavan, I was fixed on seeing Krishna's hand in everything. I had to keep from committing offense. So I thought, that's an ideal way to practice this mindset of seeing everything as Krishna's mercy. When you practice it in the Dham, and you know you can't risk making offense, then becomes more habit, and when you come out of the Dham, then you realize actually the whole universe is the Dham, and we can see everything as Krishna's mercy. So the Dham helps us practice it intensely more, you know.
Hare Krishna. Thank you. I think that's exactly a very good point, that we are definitely more careful in the holy Dham surrounding, because we know that everything is multiplied many times, any good deeds as well as any bad deeds. But then once we are outside the holy Dham, we kind of tend to be a little bit less careful and sometimes negligent. So definitely one way to overcome is to see that we are in the Holy Name all the time, especially in a lecture with so many wonderful Vaishnavas here.
I was going to say that the analogy with the lion and the man was brilliant. I just really hope you don't mind if I borrow that in the future.
No, definitely. Definitely, yeah. It's amazing because we don't perceive the danger. Even the scripture tells us, yeah. Padam, yapi padam. The danger is that every step we often think, oh, it's just a statement.
Yeah. But it's incredible when you think of it like that, you know, how urgent
exactly.
It is to get out of the line, you know, get out of here.
Exactly.
But thank you so much for that.
Thank you. Thank you. I think we will stop here. Thank you all so much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Varuna Prabhu ki jai.